Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. It's good to see you out. We have so many of our normal number here. We have so many that are visitors and new with us. It's good to see every one of you. There is no one more important than the other. If you didn't have the consistent regular members, you wouldn't have a place for the visitors to come to. And if you didn't have visitors, you wouldn't have those future dependable every three time a week or Christians that you have and rely on so much in the church. So thank you for being here. And I hope that you brought your Bible. I hope also that you take notes. This is going to be the kind of lesson that is good for both. The note takers, I will tell you ahead of time, I may go a little quickly in some spots. I hope not too quickly. And I will also apologize for this. I worked for at least 2 hours on that, and that's not the font I was using at my home. And it changed. If you've ever had that experience, when I plugged it in today, that's a new font. So I apologize that that's not exactly the way I wanted it to look. In February or March of every year, since I've been the minister here, I've tried to make sure that we do a series of lessons on a topic. Scott mentioned earlier we have new Christians coming in all the time, may not know about the Lord's Supper, may not know why we do these things. So I've done a lot of doctrinal series to try and teach on everything from the eldership to worship to why we baptize or whatever the difference may be. But in this year, we have elders here. So I sat down with David's Brown and Musick's, and they helped us come up with what we're going to do for February. So we're going to talk about social media and how it interacts with us, computers, the internet, that kind of thing. And if you don't think it's made a change in our life, wow. Go back 10 or 15 years ago. Let's say you're at the grocery store, and you want someone to know that they also need to get brown sugar for your oatmeal, let's just say. How are you going to communicate that 15 years ago? You're not. Now, you didn't think anything about it now because, right, I would just rush off a text. I'd just rush off a text and say, hey, don't forget our brown sugar and maybe some Lucky Charms because, you know, those are food groups. So we just do those things now. We don't think about it. When you want to see highlights of a ball game, when you want to know about news, when you want to know about the weather, do you sit there until, well, I guess I have to wait till 6 o'clock to find out what the weather is. I guess I'll just wait till the weatherman or the weather lady tells me. Everything is instant. That's good in some cases. It's also bad. So we're going to talk about some things. In fact, the other thing I did is that should be FOMO. We'll talk about that in just a minute. This morning, we're going to talk about the epidemic of loneliness. And I've entitled this Future Shock Again. Because one of the things that the internet has done is it's taken away a lot of our personal interaction. That and some other things that have been helpful. We want to talk about February the 11th, next Sunday. What is done in the heart? The overwhelming problem of pornography. Overwhelming. The third Sunday is FOMO. As far as I know, that's not a curse word yet. We'll talk about that fear on the 3rd. And then the 25th, all things are lawful. Gambling and weed, stumbling stoned and broke into the 21st century. So all those things are things that every one of us is dealing with in some way. And it's all brought to us happily by this new thing we call our smartphone or the internet or however it is you access social media. So this morning, and I've subtitled it, I think I've got this on the first page, I've subtitled it Anti-Social Media because that's what it's done. And chains of our own choosing. These are things that we give ourselves to willingly, and over time it may become unwilling, but at least at the beginning, we're chaining ourselves, we're excluding ourselves from people for our own reasons. And before I begin on the first point, let me say this. We're going to talk about the epidemic of loneliness. Let me say, first of all, that we're going to talk about things we can change about that, okay? Let me say that again. We're going to talk about the epidemic of loneliness. We're going to talk about lonely people that can change that. There are people who are lonely by no choice of their own, right? Age and death may take away our friends and the people that we know. Please don't take that as personal. Nothing about this lesson is getting after someone who's lost a spouse or lost children or lost their entire family, perhaps, for being alone. That happens. We're going to talk about some behaviors that are increasing those numbers, and hopefully some things that we can change and make some improvements to and see what the Bible says about that thing. So this morning, the epidemic of loneliness. I've called it Future Shock Again. Future Shock Again. This is a book written by a man named Toffler from 1970. And in 1970, he was concerned that things were happening too fast in the world. Here are some of the technologies that were overwhelming the period of the time. Color television. Transcontinental aircraft. I've got the list here. Satellite communication. Instant coffee. That's a joke, but it's true, because instant coffee is a scourge. Microwave dinners. That may seem like nothing to you, but the people of 1970 were dealing with these things, and they were new. And the idea is that when new technology comes to us, it takes us a while to kind of figure it out. And for those in a generation that are younger, it's easier to do than others. 45 records. You don't even know what that is, half of you. But at one time, that was a new, different technology that was difficult to understand. Young people are not having as much trouble as those of us who are a little older with the internet. The Future Shock 2.0 of this era, it's what they know, so it doesn't come at them as fast. But for the rest of us, the world just seems to be just going, everything's coming at us all at once, and it creates a kind of future shock. Toffler argued, this is from his book, that society is undergoing an enormous structural change. So he was saying we've been in the Industrial Revolution, right, up through the 1800s, that we're now into the super industrial society. Remember, he had no idea about the internet. So society was changing. Society not only is changing, but let's face it, it has changed. And yes, that causes doubts. That causes confusion sometimes. The term future shock, Toffler invented, and he said it refers to the disorientation and anxiety caused by too much change in a short period of time. The disorientation and anxiety caused by too much change in a short time. Well, let me tell you something, guys and gals. That's where we are. This is the new world. The generation under 25 is not living in your world. They're not. COVID has been such a dividing line for so many things. You know what COVID told a generation of kids they can do? Play video games, take a $600 stipend from the government, and never leave their couch. That's true. I'll never forget the first Grubhub ad I saw where this kid was talking about he didn't want to stop playing his video game because he was crushing it, yo, to actually go get some food. He could just order it, and it would come to his house. If you've ever seen the movie Wall-E, there's that scene where all the guys are riding around on their little carts, and there are two guys side by side, and they're not talking to each other side by side. They're talking to each other through their screens. And they get so used to being carried around in their carts that they can't stand up and walk because their bones are too brittle. Guess what? That's where we're headed. Now, there are two reactions to that. Well, A, he's an old guy, and he can't handle it all, and he doesn't understand. Probably true. But there is also the fact that there's value in understanding what generations before had to say. There's value in personal interaction. And that scene in that movie of the two guys riding down that corridor, and they're talking to each other, they're side by side, but instead of looking at each other and speaking, they're talking through a screen. So if you want to know why this lesson is called the epidemic of loneliness, it's because that has happened to us. Social media takes the place of actually talking to people. There's a man named Harold Comer that's written a book called On Evangelism, and he talks about the different stages of spreading the gospel, and he talks about the difference in house design between the 40s and 50s and the 60s, 70s, and 80s. At one time, you would build a house with a big front porch on it. That was indicative of the fact that if you saw somebody coming by, you wanted them to come say hi. But people don't do that anymore. You have little front stoops, you have big back decks, because you're selective about who comes into your front door and out on your back door. I have no idea what Comer would say about this generation today. So how do we deal with that? How do we deal with loneliness? How do we deal with the isolation that comes from pretending we're in a world that's not real? Do we need each other? Oh, we need each other. We need each other. So what this world has brought us is a future shock 2.0. And there is an epidemic of loneliness. And I've done a lesson on this before, but this is not a new phenomenon. This is something people have seen for quite a while. These are quotes from the Surgeon General. His name is Vivek Murthy. I have no idea whether I'm saying that right. But he put out an entire report on loneliness in men, particularly over age 50. Here's what he says. Even before the onset of COVID-19 pandemic, approximately half, read that to you again, approximately half of U.S. adults reported experiencing measurable levels of loneliness. That's a tragic figure. So what is the main culprit? Even the Surgeon General understands that the internet is part of the problem. In his Principles for Addressing the Problem of Loneliness, he says this: we must reform digital environments. We must critically evaluate our relationship with technology and ensure that how we interact digitally does not detract from meaningful and healing connection with others. In other words, we can't just sit in our homes, be all by ourselves, and be okay. That's a terribly lonely place to be. How bad is it? This is from Psychology Today. A large-scale U.S. study found that unmarried men aged 40 to 60 were 3.5 times more likely to die by suicide compared to both similarly aged married men and unmarried women. The epidemic of loneliness has hit 50-year-old and over men more than any other for lots of reasons. The internet among them. And again, let me say before we begin this topic, I am not saying that if you experience loneliness, that is sinful. We all are lonely from time to time. I'm not saying that if you find yourself in a lonely situation, that it's your fault. Please don't misunderstand me. But I will tell you this. There are people who are lonely, and it is their fault. There are people who have ignored God for a long time and find themselves 50 years old, that have married three times, they got kids from three different marriages, none of their kids like them. I can't understand why. They left mom all three times, and all of a sudden they're lonely. We got an epidemic of that in this country. We've sown the wind, we're reaping the whirlwind. We've decided that we could just do what we want to do, and God's law for marriage, and God's law for morality, and God's law for how we should behave, that's just for you old people to worry about. We're new, and we're young, and we're the baby boomer generation, and we've had Woodstock, and we're smarter than you, and we're just going to do what we want. How's that working out for them? In a lot of cases, sadly, suicide and death. So we're going to look at four things, really the third and fourth you could put together. Sowing self and reaping no more. Sowing to self and reaping no more. A life with purpose. Put down the phone. Go outside. So 4 points this morning on the epidemic of loneliness. Sowing self, reaping no more. When we talk about sowing self, what does that mean? It means for some people, they have been so selfish and they've thrown away. That when you're young and strong and rich, you don't need anybody, right? I got a good job. I can go get myself an extra girlfriend. I can go do this. I can buy myself a boat. I can have a second whatever. I can move on. I can do what I want. I don't need anybody. If my wife doesn't like it, she can hush. I'll go get me a better looking one. That's all good and fine till you're 57 or 60. Or God forbid you need some kind of medical assistance. How many of us have seen spouses care for one another as either they fall ill or die? A lot of us. There but for the grace of God go I. Right? And now you find out who you've lived your life like. If I've lived my life in such a way that nobody wants to put up with me and nobody wants to care for me, that may be on me. So this is both a solution and a caution for next generation to not sow to self and reap no more. Pew Research Center analysis of census data from 2019, roughly 4 in 10 adults aged 25 to 54 were unpartnered. That's fancy language for they weren't married and weren't living together. That is, neither one married nor living together. The share rose 29% from 1990. 4 in 10 men in their 50s are unmarried in this country. You want to know why they're lonely? That's why they're lonely. So there is a sense in which you can sow to self only so long, and you can reap no more. Galatians chapter 6 tells us this very thing. Turn in your book, your Bibles, to Galatians chapter 6. And God warns us about this idea of too much self. We've seen that song, None of Self and All of Me. Well, so many times the world sings all of me and none of thee. And they refuse God and they act as if God doesn't matter. And they behave in such a way that defies the laws of God. God is trying to tell us how to live a good life. God is trying to tell us how to get along, how to be faithful, how to love one another. And we ignore it. We can't turn around when we're 50 and go, well, I never saw that coming. Who knew? God knew, and God told us ahead of time. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. How are you going to live your life? Am I saying that if you're a Christian, you're never going to have problems? Absolutely not. If you're a Christian, you're going to have problems. But I tell you what else you're going to have. Hopefully you're going to be faithful to your earthly family. And hopefully you're going to be faithful to your spiritual family. Members of this congregation are not lonely, unless they choose to be. Brother Jim does a great job in putting out a list of everybody's in the congregation's name, address, and phone number. Everybody in there will take a call from you. You come to services, guess what you get to do? You get to see people, you get to shake hands, you get to say hi. There are areas for service in this world. I saw a story just the other day of an older gentleman who had his wife had passed through no fault of his own, and he was lonely. And I tell you what he did. He actually put out a list that says, we'll do your honeydew jobs. We'll do your honeydew jobs. And you know what he found? There was a whole area of service out there of women who had lost their husbands, and they were glad to call him. So this lonely guy, miserable because his wife has died, all of a sudden becomes the toast of the town, just doing what his wife would have had him do in the first place. Now, let me tell you, sometimes that requires on us. It requires that we do the reaching out. We can't just sit in our home and not reach out to anyone and not try and help anybody and not do anything for anybody and go, well, no one likes me, I guess that group of people I'm with just aren't really friendly. Sometimes you got to get out and shake hands yourself. What the Bible gives us an opportunity to do is come together. If we come together and we love and we encourage, we will be loved and encouraged. Marriage and family are the antidote to loneliness. I think the first lesson I did on this subject was almost exclusively based around this idea. God is looking out for us. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. And I appreciate Greg reading that for us earlier today. The whole reason God made man and woman was that God realized that men can be lonely. And he needed a partner to give us that would put up with us a little bit. This true story. God realized that man by himself was not a complete creature. He was still just one flesh and not two joined together. Genesis chapter 2, we'll read verse 18, then we'll skip down a little bit. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Do you know what the Surgeon General in Psychology Today and Mr. Toffler have found out? God was right all along. You didn't have to write a book. You didn't have to do a study. You didn't have to do any of those things. You find a man who's 50 or 60 years old and does not have a wife, he's going to be alone. You find a young man who's 30 or 35, it's going to hit him at some point. You can only be a young buck sowing your wild oats so long, and you realize you'll need some help. You realize it is better to go through this world two and not one. Look down at verse 21, the verses that Greg read for us. Verse 21, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs, closed up its place with flesh. The rib the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. There's a little book that I use in our marriage counseling that talks about the fact that God made woman from man's side, not from his feet to be stepped on, not from his head to be ruled over, but from his side to walk forever. God gave us someone to help us ease loneliness. The number one thing you can do for the epidemic of loneliness is be faithful to your wife before you meet her. Be faithful to your wife once you're married to her. And then enjoy the benefits of the family that you will develop as you go along. God wants that for you. Marriage is a blessing. And the world has cast it off as just some meaningless, antiquated thing that talks about the patriarchy trying to dominate us. Overrule the patriarchy. Up into the patriarchy. What you're doing is you're doing away with God's plan for you to be happy in your old age. Jesus says this in Matthew 19, verse 4. We talk about this verse a lot, as well we should, for a lot of reasons. Here's the number one reason. Because people ignore it. People in their young age, and it may be in their wealth, say, I can cast this person away. I can do away with them. I can write a writ of divorcement for any cause, was the question that was asked of Jesus here. What does Matthew 19, 4 through 6 says? It says, if you will hush your mouth, submit to God, love your wife, God will bless you. Sort of what it says. Or Jesus just says, look here, God has said for you to be faithful to your wife. That means loving your neighbor as yourself. 1 Peter 3 tells us that means realizing that she's a fellow partaker of the divine blessings with us. My wife is a fellow Christian that needs to be encouraged and loved as much as every visitor at church. We men need to hear that.
Women might need to hear the opposite.
Do I love my wife? Do I treat her? Do I do as much for her as I do for someone else in the congregation? Sometimes maybe I need to realize I need to treat her better than that. Maybe it's just me. Matthew 19, verse 4. He answered, Jesus speaking here, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. We just ended a majority of the epidemic of loneliness. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul. Treat your spouse like they're a fellow Christian. When you get to be 50 or 60, you'll have someone with you who can help you when you're down. Who can be there for you. Emotionally, physically, spiritually. Helping you march that road of happy destiny so that you end up in heaven one day. Side by side. God did that for us. Jesus said, look back at what God has done for us and do that. That's how we handle. That's the antidote to loneliness, marriage and the family. Well, the other thing a lonely person may need to do is to have some purpose in their life. This is a thing, right? As we grow older in our life, we may not be as motivated by work. Maybe we retire. God forbid, and it does happen, there may be family loss in our family, and we can become insular. And instead of reaching out, we can begin to look inside, and we begin to say, poor me, poor me, pour me another drink. We may grow lonely because we don't look out. According to a Gallup poll released last year, May 2023, 31% of U.S. adults attended church in the past 7 days. 7 out of 10 Americans don't go to church. They've ignored God's law for marriage. They've ignored God's church, and they can't figure out why they're lonely. And they're committing suicide at 3.5 times the rate of other people. Why? Because they've lived the kind of life that nobody wants to be around them anymore. They've rebelled against God so much to the point that sometimes they can't even come back and be within church. Their lives are so entangled with things, they could come back, but they find it very difficult to come back because that sin that they thought they were playing with and having fun with wasn't playing with them. And they may have thought they were making their way in the world, but what was truly happening, C.S. Lewis says, is that the world was making their way into them. God wants you to be happy. Do you know how you can be happy? find you a wife. It's a good thing. Be faithful to her, love her, treat her with respect, and then come and visit with other Christians who will encourage you along the way. Come join together in one spirit and one mind at peace, glorifying God. Sound good? That's what God has offered us. That's what God has offered those who trust in Him and believe in Him. Philippians chapter 3. One of the things that we need to realize is we're not done as Christians. There is no retirement age on Christianity. Yes, what you do may change. But I will tell you this, that's fantastic. Because what the senior person can do, the younger person can't. What the younger person can do, maybe the senior person can't. But we all have to use our gifts to come together as one body, edifying one another. Look at how Paul looked at his particular journey in life as he decided he needed to live with purpose. I skipped over Galatians chapter 5. If you're in Philippians, we'll read Philippians 3 and then I'll go back to Galatians 5. Philippians 3:13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You want to get out of your loneliness? Get out of yourself. You want to get out of your loneliness? Get out of yourself. Serve somebody. Get out of the house. Go find something you can do to be a benefit to the Lord. Paul says, I don't have it. I don't have it wrapped up in my hand. As I live my life, I have to continue to strain the upward call of Christ. Paul said in Galatians 5:13, and I apologize, I got those out of order. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. I'm always straining. I'm always fighting. I'm always looking to do. Will how I serve the church change? Yes. I heard the story of a preacher who said that he was talking to a little old lady in the church, and she said, I've gotten to the point in my life where all I can do is pray. And he said, oh, all you can do is pray. We need people who have time to pray. Please pray for us. Please pray for this congregation. We have a couple of women who are at home who can't make it out. Please pray for us. We need your prayer. There's great power in the prayer of a godly man or woman. So how you serve may change. Your service may just be a phone call. Maybe when you were younger, you could go help clean the yard, or you could take someone out to dinner. Your ability to do those things may change over time, but don't stop. Find someone to serve. Find a way to serve. Get out of your selfish self. If I'm sitting here worried about what's wrong with me, I'm going to be worried about what's wrong with me. And it's going to seem overwhelming. See how much better you feel when you go do something for someone else. Not because they're going to pay you, because you're going to be blessed when you do. I mentioned earlier the two-pronged solution to this is God's law for the family and God's law for attendance, if you will take that. Look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Remember, this comes on the heels of a survey that says 30% of Americans go to church, 70% do not. So 70% of the people in America don't go to church. There's no wonder they're lonely. There's no wonder they're miserable. They are not availing themselves of God's blessing of people. We need people. Social media is great. We need to hug each other. We need to shake hands. We need to talk to each other. We need to see your face. You can't have that long conversation with someone until you start the short conversation. You can't have a long conversation with someone on a text. I can't. Now, my kids can. They have thumbs that I don't understand. I still need a BlackBerry. Yes, if you're out there and you can invent an iPhone that has a BlackBerry keypad, I've got some money for you. But you can't get into a deep conversation while you're doing that, because that usually starts on one question and then there's another and another, and before you know it, you're on to a subject you never imagined. Maybe a subject that person needs to talk about. Maybe a subject that person needs to get off their chest. Maybe a subject they're afraid to tell you in text. Because when you say it in text, and I am the worst about this, it never comes out the way you think it does. We need each other. I don't mean texting is great, phone calls are great. We need to see each other in person. So Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. Go down to verse 14. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all, see that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. If you want to live a life left alone where nobody tells you to get up and get moving, don't come to a church. Don't serve God. Whatever you do, forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But if you want to have some insulation against the epidemic of loneliness, Jesus, Jesus, how I love Him. God's people joined together in love. And let me say something here for us too. Maybe I'm not given to loneliness. Maybe I need to reach out. Maybe I need to look and be, and have vision that I don't see it. I tell you a way in which I did it. It never occurred to me that someone would have everybody they know pass away. I watched George Smithson go through that, and he told me about it as he did. That opened my eyes to that in a way that it never happened before. There are people in this congregation, and it happens as you get older, who through no fault of their own have outlived the people they know. I need to have eyes to see, and I need to have ears to hear, so I can reach out and hopefully make a difference in that person's life. God's law for marriage, God's law for the family, God's law for the church. If we just follow God, He wants us to have a good, healthy life. We really should be more concerned about eternity, but God has blessings, spiritual blessings for us here, people that we love and care for. I'm so thrilled you're in my life. Everyone in this building that I know of any consequence, I know something about that you've helped me with. You're an encouragement just being here today. We say that all the time. I mean it, absolutely. Put down the phone. Put down the phone. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. A man does not sharpen anything on his phone. You can't show me how to start a fire, skin a buck, run a trot line, have a rifle, a shotgun, and a 45. You can't teach this country boy how to survive. I hope somebody's getting that somewhere. On the phone. On the phone. I have to see it. You have to show me. If I'm lonely, I may need to get off my phone. I may need to find Brother Wayne's sister's in a nursing home. There are people, I promise you, worse off than you are. You going to visit them, you may not be able to sing a song, you may not be able to do any, you may not be able to draw a picture or write a beautiful card, but you may be able to stop by and say, "Hey, I understand," and talk for 5 minutes. You may be able to do that in the middle of the day because you're retired and don't have a job. Where the 20-year-old, if you got 5 or 6 kids and a job, let me tell you something, you ain't got a lot of time for going to the nursing home at 2 in the afternoon. God may have blessed you with the time to be able to do that in a way that only one-on-one participation matters. Turn, if you would, to Mark 3. Turn to Mark 3 and verse 13. I want you to see this. Please turn to this one. I always want you to turn your Bibles. I'm a Bible turner. I know that there are people who are note takers. That's not an accusation. I can't do both. I'll just tell you that right now. I've seen people who can. I am incapable of that. If I'm listening to a preacher, I turn the page. I don't write a note. If I had to do both, one of them wouldn't get done. So for those of you who are capable of that, that's fantastic. I want you to know this is from the Bible. I want you to know this is the Word of God. I want you to know I'm not making this up. Jesus needed people. Why should I think I'm any different? Mark 3, verse 13 through 14. Mark 3, verse 13 through 14. And he, that's Jesus, went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him. Are you telling me Jesus had people in his life that he liked and did not like? Yes. Yes. When you're up on the mountain, you don't just want to talk to everybody. When you need to be at peace, when you need to go and be in solitary confinement, you don't want to talk to everybody. There are those that you desire to come to you. You're no different. Jesus is no different. Look at what he says in the next verse. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him. Jesus selected 12 friends to hang out, to be with him. You know why? Because even the Son of God is also the Son of Man. And we can't get on our phones what we need to get personally. Get out there and find a friend. Get out there and realize if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Real quickly, go outside. Psalm 19. Go outside. Get out of the house. Walk around. Get some exercise. I need to hear that. No one needs to hear that more than I. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims His handiwork. Romans 1, 19 through 20. I'll go briefly. We know that God's invisible attributes can be seen from what He has created. We know there is a creator because we look at what is created. We see God's power and His wonder in that. We know there's a God. You can't know there's a God inside. You can know there's a God inside. There are wonderful things. There are babies and families and cornbread and other things that let you know that there are a God inside. But go outside. Finally, this. There's something called the success sequence for young people. The success sequence. I've preached on it several times. People found out that in this country, and listen carefully to me, if you graduate high school first, then you get a job, then you get married, then you have a child, in that order, 97% of people in this country who do that are successful. Literally, 3% of the people in this country who do that ever are poor. When you're 50, the same thing applies in reverse. Graduate high school, get a job, find a wife, be faithful to her, be a leader in your family spiritually. Don't wonder why your family hadn't been to church in 3 weeks when you're laying on the couch wondering why she won't take the kids like you told her. Get up, don't be sorry, and be a spiritual leader in your family. Be faithful to your wife. Have kids who like you and don't mind hanging around with you. It might even help you when you're old. The same thing that applies to the 15-year-old applies to the 50-year-old. God's way works. Family and the church and encouragement from fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Does that sound lonely to you? You have to work pretty hard to make that lonely. Work just as hard for Christ as you would for your earthly pursuits. Come to Him. Say to Him, I will make you my Lord. I will say to Jesus, not my will but yours be done. Why will I do that? Because He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, crucified, resurrected by God Himself. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will raise me from the dead. And you can have that Spirit given to you in the moment that you die to sin, the moment that you become into Christ, and the moment you rise to walk in newness of life, revived and regenerated in spirit, forgiven, standing in grace. We'll talk about that tonight. Come back and see us. But we'll baptize you right now into Christ as we stand and we sing.